Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Coming up in this edition of the TV Black Box, Nine's summer plans thrown into disarray. Pete Evans evicted from the jungle before filming even begins. And comedian Fiona O'Loughlin opens up about her battle with the booze. Welcome to the podcast where people in the TV industry get their news.
This is TV Black Box, bringing you the inside goss from the TV industry.
Well, just a few things have happened since last week. Let's get right into it. Mulk, it's nice that you've actually put some clothes on. Earlier on the Ben, Rob and Robbo show, things got a little scary.
I'm not sure what you're asserting, Rob. I was just following the direction of the executive producer. Hello, everyone.
All right. So nice to know that you will go to any great length. If you missed that piece of internet phenomenon, Mulk got down and naked for us today on the Ben Robin.
It's now on you, Paul.
Also joining us, of course, is Benjamin Norris. Hello, Ben.
Hi, guys. I'm just really excited that Mulk started an OnlyFans account and he can make a little bit of extra money on the side.
I'm just waiting for the leaks, let me tell you. I can't wait to build my fan base. What even is this? How did I get here?
And joining us for the podcast today is Aaron Ryan over in Perth. Hello, Aaron.
Hello, and thank you for having me again. And you can find me on the socials at #JamieOliverDoesNotWrite.
JamieOliverDoesNotWrite. And we'll be talking about that a little bit more, because as though Channel 10 just wanted to prove your old pal Rob McKnight is always right, they've done it again and the ratings have sunk. But we'll talk about that in a bit more, because first of all, last week we asked the question and this week we have the answer. Pete Evans has been fired from I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here just hours before entering the jungle. In fact, we were in a situation where we were saying he should not be going into the jungle, and no sooner had the episode been posted than Channel 10 sacked him. His viral post with neo-Nazi symbolism was met with backlash and criticism of 10 for giving him a platform, which ultimately forced the network to make the tough decision. Ben, you have been across this far and wide and bringing us all up to date with the latest information. Wow, what a week.
Well, I was more than across this. I was like standing in the corner of the room like Damien from Omen with a box of matches. I basically torched the place with this story. But at the end of the day, just like a lot of Australians, we went on a bit of a journey with this story. You know, a lot of people saying don't de-platform. But the reality was, Rob, you put that episode up at about 12:30 midnight, last week's episode, and it is believed that some people from 10 had heard our opinions. Don't necessarily know if we were the total vox pop for it, but by the time it had rolled around in the morning, Pete Evans was no longer on the show. One of the funniest things I thought was how everyone was saying it was $200,000. Like, we just, they weren't going to give $200,000 to Pete Evans. Like,
no,
that's just not a thing, which is a bit funny. But it is believed that he was silenced. I heard that again today, and I heard the number of about $35,000. Don't know if that's good hush money, but certainly works at my house. So if anyone at 10 wants me to shut up with my box of matches, send it my way.
Hey, actually, Channel 10, if you want me to shut up, $50,000 will do it. That'll be fine.
Well, they thought firing you was going to get you to shut up, but they were so wrong. You have your own podcast and your own platform, which they can't de-platform.
All they did was unleash the Kraken. What's interesting about this, Ben, is the fact I actually don't care how Channel 10 made this call. It is the right call. So if they did listen to this and get a gauge of where the commentary about this was going to go, Well done then. It was pretty obvious when we recorded the podcast last week that Pete Evans was going to be nothing but trouble for Channel 10 for all the reasons we outlined last week. The backlash from viewers that we were receiving online to the backlash coming from those who employed Pete Evans. This time when we recorded last week, Pam McMillan had already pulled the plug. Since then, we've seen pretty much every sponsor from under every rock, everyone that works with him, have pulled the plug.
Except his PR agency, who apparently are standing strong with him. They were out there talking at the end of last week saying that Pete Evans hasn't been destroyed. This isn't the last you'll hear from them. And, you know, he's going to come back bigger and better than ever. So, I don't know, maybe you can get phone calls to the Planet Delusion. But this PR company is obviously doing a great job.
Yeah, Mark, I've got to say, you know, he's already said he's leaving Facebook. He's never coming back. And today he was on Facebook. You cannot trust a word this guy says. He is a snake. And we've talked about this. I'm a free speech advocate. But thank God he's not on our television screens.
And I acknowledge that, Rob. And I've had a bit of a personal kind of awakening myself, actually. If we don't talk about Pete Evans, he goes away. So let's not.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And after today, we certainly won't, because I think that's a very smart and fair point. But the fact is, it was the big story we covered last week. It would be remiss of us not to do a follow-up of that.
Absolutely, yeah.
But yes, I understand the idea that I'm now giving him airtime, but I feel like we had to do that to acknowledge what's happened, the events of the last week, because it's monumental. This guy was thriving off controversy. He's had to come out and Google what neo-Nazi means. Bullshit. You know, he's put out posts saying he didn't know what the symbolism was. Bullshit. Last week we disproved that. So anyone that reports that is falling for his false narrative. And this is the problem, isn't it, Aaron, that there are so many false narratives with this guy, and networks need to take the responsible position of not platforming, and I commend Channel 10 for making the decision they did.
Yeah, well, it was absolutely the right decision. I think most of us actually said this was a bad idea before this most recent issues arose. He is far out there, and he wasn't right for this type of family show. But I do want to say something that may be a little bit controversial. I'm not about shutting this guy down completely. I just think I'm a Celebrity was not the right vehicle. If Seven announced, though, that he was part of, for example, SAS Australia next year, I wouldn't have an issue at all with him being on that program.
I actually would. The problem with that is that he's not Chappelle Corby. Chappelle Corby's story we hadn't heard. We've heard this guy. We know what he stands for. And it's the idea of chasing controversy. But this guy, every time you put him on the screen, and I have been guilty of that on the Ben Robin Robbo show, you legitimize him. And this is what we've got to stop
doing. Best thing about that was, like, I remember I came to you after, I think we're all sitting in a production meeting, and, you know, I said, oh, there's so many people that are these conspiracy theorists. They're the anti-maskers. They're the QAnon. Yep. They're all of these things. And I said to you, wouldn't it be amazing if we could get Pete Evans? So I kind of sold that to you because we thought we could unpack something. You know, it's all this hindsight, because what we had idea was he was never going to do that. Like, he's the master at his ability to keep conversations going in his favour, even if it doesn't mean that the audience is even getting any answers. So, you know, it's a difficult thing in hindsight for us all to really understand what journey we've all been on with Pete Evans, because I think a lot of people said that they would have watched him on the show have changed their mind on that. And I don't think SAS or anything at the moment is the right platform for him, and that's only because I like to read people's body language. And I don't know if anyone saw him back at Byron at his house, you know, with the horses,
that Daily Mail video. Yep.
It just seemed more unhinged and more scary than I'd realized. And I doesn't matter what people have done, and people are bad, people can be bad people, I did really feel concerned for him. So I just hope he's getting the right mental health.
This is the first wake-up call he's had in a long time, because he's been able to peddle his bullshit and get away with it, and the media has lapped it up. And this is the first time where the people that bring in his substantial amount of money have actually pulled the pin. He now faces a financial crisis, and he doesn't know what to do about that. And you can say fake media, mainstream media is out to get me. Well, mate, that's how you've been making your money for all these years.
You, You guys won't actually believe this, but how's this for timing? I'm just watching Twitter fly by in the background while we're recording this podcast, and there is news breaking that Pete Evans is going to appear on a Channel 9 show in 2021.
Do they say what the show is?
It's unnamed. No, I'm bullshitting. Oh, nothing's happening.
Because I was about to go Channel 9 really hard then.
No, I know you. It's big love to our friends at 7, 9, and 10.
Because I was about to say, I just can't believe it.
I'll pay you that.
I don't mind. As long as Malt keeps his clothes on, he can lie to me all the time. It's fine.
Well, only halfway through a six-year deal for Channel 9 worth almost $350 million, and the Australian Open may be pushed back due to strict quarantine rules in Victoria. The Melbourne Grand Slam is a key moment in sports programming every year, but according to The Australian, could actually be pushed back from January to late February or even March. Malk, what does this do to Channel 9's programming plans?
You know those images that we see in movies, or particularly in ads, where they're talking about people that are having to, you know, give up and start again, that, and then throw papers in the air and everything kind of flutters down around them? That's what's happening in the Channel 9 programming department right now with this talk of the Australian Open moving. It's diabolical. Just as Seven for many years prior to Nine, and now Nine, hang their schedule off the Australian Open men's final on that Sunday night, launching them into a huge run-up for Q1 in the ratings year. If they have to move the Australian Open into ratings, look, there is capacity, no question, that they'll pick up some pretty serious ratings because it now lands inside the ratings period. But what it does is actually hold them off. They won't want to start Married at First Sight and then stop it for 2 weeks to run the tennis and then bring Married at First Sight back. It actually throws the whole thing into disarray, and that's going to be, look, some pretty serious issues for Nine. I'm sure they'll be talking to of course, Victorian government and the Oz Open people going, yeah, let's not do that.
Yeah, thanks. But the fact is Dan Andrews isn't going to give a flying F about what Channel 9 wants when he's dealing with a pandemic and the idea of people attending events and all that kind of stuff and champions flying in from overseas to take part of it, the players I'm talking about.
Oh, sure. And I absolutely acknowledge that I think of all of the networks that are probably best to sit at the table and nut this out. How do we make it work? Nine are probably those guys because they come in with the benefit of, you know, 2019 and we're, you know, going to get to 2020 where they will be, you know, the number one network again. To have a little bit of that both clout and leeway to be able to manage that and work that out. I'd expect they'll probably want to slide the Oz Open later rather than sooner.
Yeah, honestly. Could it actually work for them though, Aaron, in that it brings the price down but it's in ratings for them?
Maybe only in money. I was thinking about this before we came on. I think it's a disaster because they would actually have four options. They, as Malk actually said, start the year as normal with scheduled programming such as maths and all that, and then after just 2 or 3 weeks, pull them and take a break for the tennis. That would be a disaster. Yeah. Start the year as normal, but run the tennis on 9 Gem. That would be counterproductive and a disaster. Don't start maths at all, and then just run basically summer programming at the start into the tennis, which that would be an absolute...
Or something else.
Or
sure.
Something, and that would be a free kick to Channel 7. And the only option probably is to start maths much, much earlier, like mid-January, so that when they come into the tennis...
But why not still run it after the tennis as planned, no matter when the tennis is? It still gives you that launch platform. It still gives you that event programming.
And what are they going to run between January the 20th and February the 20th?
But you wouldn't want to bring maths that early. You want maths in ratings, don't you? So,
well, of course you do, but when are you going to, what are you going to run before the tennis?
Burn something else. Wouldn't you play for the back half of the year, the later half of the year? You know, like, if anything, you're prolonging your programming for the year.
But Seven starts off running holy moly. Everyone's jumping in at the start. Nine's running some sort of crappy counter programming, waiting for the tennis. And by the time the tennis has come on and maths has come on, everyone's watching Seven.
I'm not disputing what you're saying, mate. This is why these guys at Nine are getting paid, you know, big bucks, because this is the problem you're facing. You've bought a big sport that you know brings in ratings, and now you're getting screwed over because of this pandemic that is screwing everyone over, and especially television stations.
Oh, and remember, 2021 is the Olympic year that 2020 should have been. So it's even like it's even got a bigger mess to play in that. Look, I think that Nine could, and this is me playing, you know, amateur programmer. There is the capacity that they could, if this is indeed the case, slide something like Lego Masters into that first part of the ratings year prior to the Oz Open. And that would help kind of, you know, get them out of jail and ward off whatever seven are going to throw at them in Q1 and then run maths right off the back of the Oz Open. It would mean some juggling, of course, in the later part of their schedule. Nothing impossible, but you're exactly right, Rob. That's why they paid them the big bucks to do this. It absolutely would be a challenge. It will bring them the benefit of all of the tennis in all of the ratings period, where, if I recall correctly, for at least the last 2 years, maybe only the men's final and nothing else. In fact, 2020, none of it was in the ratings period.
It usually isn't.
It all finished up a week before. So it's that kind of mess that they face. I think it's, even if we do get it to March or April, I'm not even confident that we'll have a full stadium, in the Rod Laver Arena watching, because they'll still have to physically distance because we still don't have a vaccine.
Which could play for great TV ratings, depending on the lineup. But, you know, Lego Masters leading up to it is not a bad idea at all.
But now they're in the same boat as the other networks, because everyone else was like, Seven was like, we've got Big Brother. Channel 10 was like, we've got I'm a Celebrity. And they're all like, don't go anywhere near Married at First Sight. And now Channel 9's in the same boat. They don't want to put Married at First Sight up against their tennis. I wonder what would win.
Aren't Seven pitching one of their big new things up against MAFS
Holy Moly
in Q1.
It's believed that Holy Moly is coming first, and that's because they were waiting to see footage of both Holy Moly and Big Brother before making the decision as to which would go first. And it is already believed that Holy Moly is going to be a tighter show to kick the year off. And that's not to say anything bad's happening at Big Brother, but probably just saying more about what went right with Holy Moly.
Because that becomes the other challenge, is that all of the other networks then have 2 weeks of Oz Open to compete with and just go, holy shit, we're just going to burn 2 weeks of whatever we've got.
And depending what Nine do, we'll have a flow-on effect to what the other networks do. It's going to be fascinating. Look, let's go to our ratings wrap now, and it feels a little like Groundhog Day as we hear more good news for Nine and more bad news for 10. As reported by Kevin Perry on the TV Black Box website, Nine has now won 21 weeks outright for the year. Game 3 of State of Origin brought more viewers than the other matches, and the block room reveals were at 1.065 million Metro viewers. Channel 10, however, finished in fourth place again with their worst result since week 14 in 2019, with a primary share of just 9.4%. And Seven remains chasing Nine's tail, although experienced a moderate boost in audience for SAS, presumably thanks to the fact it wasn't competing with the block. And Mulkey, why did Channel 10 come fourth? Because Jamie Oliver does not rate.
Gosh, I'll be so glad when this is over. there's no question that Jamie Oliver is doing 10 no favours. And even, you know, Graham Norton, as Kevin rightly pointed out, the episode of Graham Norton that was on Sunday night last week was packed to the gills with, you know, like A-class Hollywood stars. And I don't think it got above 350. Like, that's diabolical. And Friday night feels right for Graham Norton. Anyway, look, this is really intriguing, because 10 have now, for quite some time, held to the view that they program 50 weeks a year. I got to tell you, if they are, then their programmers have just gone, well, fuck me, I don't know what I'm going to do for the next 6 weeks. Here's some shit.
Let's just throw it up against the wall and see what worked. And nothing does, it's all sliding down.
I'll look out.
Sorry.
I mean, programming badly is still programming, right? So there's that challenge that they face. Seven and Nine are in this bit of a tussle. Of course, Nine have tailed well with the block finishing up. And now that we are in the final week of official ratings, not that it matters, everyone programs for 48, 52, something number of weeks a year, it will be an interesting payoff, because as it stands right now, the only thing that Nine are going to win this week is the block finale, this one coming. And with the penultimate tonight and the final episode of SAS Australia tomorrow night, you'd think it would do okay numbers. So there'll be a bit of an arm wrestle. But as Kevin rightly pointed out, Nine have won, 21 weeks clear. They are the number one network in Australia for 2020.
Let me ask you this, Aaron. How long can Channel 10 limp along like a wounded dog trying to survive before Viacom CBS put it down and turf local management out and just run it from the UK?
I think you'd have to really look at 2021. They do have some. MasterChef did well this year. They didn't have. They didn't have Survivor on. They didn't have the Amazing Race on. I'm a Celebrity does it okay at the start of the year. They had a couple of. And now I've just forgotten them, but a couple of okay programming announcements for next year.
Did they? They had like three, and none of them were world beaters, to my mind.
But it's not. It's not going to majorly take on 7 and 9. But they. I think they'll do like just okay. And they really run on an oily rag there in terms of, you know, money. So I mean,
and which they've been asked to reduce more of it. They've been told to reduce more money from their budget. How do they do that and keep making programs?
You don't.
Cancel Studio 10.
That's the long and short of it, right? You just don't.
But presumably Studio 10's making money, because if it's not, it's not going to be back in 2021. That's the simple economics about... Studio 10 and morning television. And look, I think we're in for a bit of a shake-up in this country when it comes to morning television across the board, because those advertorials are not selling the way they used to. You know, once upon a time, an advertorial on the morning show would get $15,000 for one four-minute spot. They would be lucky to be getting $1,000, $2,000, and that's maybe with a couple of bonuses thrown in now. Because
are you saying that we could advertise TV Black Box as an infomercial on Studio 10?
100%. Oh, look, on Studio 10, they'd be lucky to get $850 for a spot now. Like, seriously, everybody underestimates or overestimates how much those advertorials are bringing in at the moment. The fact is, they're not working. It's been diminishing returns for years, and those shows have always survived based on the finances.
The fact they're making
money.
It's
a financial model, because the finances are based on not only the 3.5 minute ads you get, but those 4 minute advertorials, which are basically additional advertising airtime. And if you're not getting that, or if you're getting returns and you know, like Studio 10 got rid of half its cast because they've had to greatly reduce the budget to make the finances work. And if those ratings don't increase, to be honest, it doesn't even matter if the ratings increase. All that matters is whether the show is making the money. That's the big question.
But they can't seem to be doing anything right. And that's the thing, is that they're still so stuck in the past, and that's everyone's really struggled about how we make things interactive, you know, how we bring the viewers into television. That's been a real problem. And that now we've got shows like ours, like the Ben, Rob and Robbo show. There's a lot of streaming shows that allows there to be an extension of their programming that the viewers feel like they can be a part of. They're still not doing that. They're not even answering emails to people, you know, when they're asking for talent. Like, these people aren't responding, and what they need to realize is get with the times. People do feel like they want to be included, and having these streaming shows that are additional outside of 10, they need to be brought inside. Like, there's some enjoyment for their viewers with that.
Here's my hot tip. Within the next 1 to 3 years, the changes the streamers will make to their services will make broadcast TV irrelevant. It will spell the death of Channel 10. 9 and 7 will adapt and try to hold on, but everything will become about streaming and not broadcast.
Well, it's sad to think of that, because all of us are such big consumers and lovers of television. Like, you know, we probably all sit around and have a drink and watch some of the classic moments from icons gone 100%. By, like Graham Kennedy, and seen great interviews from 60 Minutes with Ray Martin. You know, look, you know, I grew up where the very sound of the Channel 9 ad in the background and the Channel 10 ad going up and pressing the button with Rove, all of that felt like a warm hug from mum. And that, you know, the next generations won't have those TV moments to adore and feel warmth about.
That's a pretty aggressive timeline, Rob, when you consider that it's 10 and not 7 that have a streaming service, and that 10 particularly are about to rebrand theirs and deliver the new thing out of America in Paramount Plus with all of its goodness and promised goodies and everything that will be in it. I don't disagree that I think that that's going to be the play. I'm not so sure that 3 years, that's pretty full on. And 7 don't have a partner. They don't have a streaming service to hook into at all. So for them to dare I say it, best 2020 word ever, pivot and deliver that is going to put them in a really unique position, given that Warburton is trying to shed debt and shed cost as hard as he can. And starting up a, let's call it a new Stan, if they went down that path, is not something you do on $10 and, you know, a bit of rubber band.
Oh, look, if they call me, my prices are very expensive. Aaron, I'll give you the final word.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to say, we talk about ratings at the moment. It's all about the rise of 9 and the disaster of 10. I think 7 really need to be given some props here. They basically had a real bad first half year. They had a lot more production halted than 9 did. Yet this week, aside from the Block Sunday and the State of Origin on Wednesday, 7 won Monday, Tuesday and Friday. They tied for Thursday. 9 have won 21 weeks, 7 have won 17 weeks. And the gap at the end of the year, it's likely to be very minimal, less than 0.5 between 9 and 7. To get literally within striking distance of 9 at the end, considering their output with certain programs, you know, Plate of Origin and My Kitchen Rules and all that, the difference at the end was one show. I think if 7 had Holy Moly this year, they would have won the year. And I honestly believe next year 7 are going to win 2021. Call. Well, it's only...
That's a big call.
It's less than 0.05. I think it's actually 0.03, but I'm just saying 0.05 in case I'm wrong. There's one show difference between the whole year. So I'm just saying 7 have done well. That's all I'm saying. I think considering the year they've had.
Yeah.
Oh, they absolutely recovered. And quite ironically, given that it's usually Q3 and 4 for 7 that fall apart, when it's the start of the year that they've done great on, and you know, it's happened around that, maybe coronavirus has turned it around the right way. Look, the challenge absolutely for 7, and you're right, they could be super, super competitive in 2021, is the fact that they haven't quite got to 10s, you know, cutting arms off kind of cost cuts, but they are significantly slicing and dicing at 7 to reduce cost so that they're in a much better financial position. And ultimately, that is going to impact their programming, you know, library.
Indeed. Well, it's set to be a big summer of sport as 7 and 9 announce their holiday programming. 9 are expected to host the Australian Open, hopefully, although as we spoke about earlier, the exact timing of that is yet to be determined. 7, however, will be bringing us the Big Bash League and Test cricket. Young Sheldon will also return to 9, and 60 Minutes will continue into the holiday period with 2 new instalments. Other programming on 9 will include Labour of Love, Carols by Candlelight and Chicago Med, with 7 continuing The Amazing Race, Chicago Fire and Dogs Behaving Very Badly. Aaron, this was your exclusive on the TV Black Box website. Channel 10 decided not to take part in this programming wrap, so we won't be talking about their summer programming. So more publicity for them, I guess not. Aaron, what are you excited about here?
Well, not a huge amount. The thing is, with Channel 7, the Big Bash League starts on the 10th of December. That's only a week and a half of summer programming that they need to actually fill. So some of those programs are late night. Amazing Race, Station 19, Chicago Fire, they're pretty late night. Channel 9, apparently Race Around the World is pretty popular, so that, I mean, that's coming back. I think there's some sort of conspiracy theory over Young Sheldon. Channel 9 have had to fill some holes this year and been running crappy movies and all that, but they won't bring Young Sheldon back. It doesn't rate like it used to, but they've had new episodes up their sleeve for ages. So they've got that coming back, and there's a whole heap of stuff on the multi-channels if people are interested. SAS UK, even though it premieres on 7, it will move to 7 Mate. 7.2's got One Lane Bridge, which is a New Zealand mystery and stuff like that. So there's actually quite a lot of new programming on the multi-channels. But otherwise, it's going to be sport, and Channel 10 airing something. Unaired installments of Family Feud, I would imagine.
Definitely, they're sliding into Saturday night. Fancy that. The really interesting pickup, and there's some great stuff in that, Aaron, well done, is not only the fact that, of course, we're going to get Carols by Candlelight, a Christmas Eve institution for 9, but Carols in the Domain. Now, understandably, with coronavirus, it's affected how both of those large public events can take place. And as we stand right now, both of them are happening without audiences, though I suspect that at least Carol's in the Domain, which, spoilers, won't be in the Domain this year, because they're moving inside a theatre that they may be able to bring in an audience to film that, to make it, give it the Christmas vibe. I think the real controversy is that they're not holding Carol's in the Domain as they traditionally do on the last Saturday before Christmas. They've moved it into Christmas week. It's airing on Wednesday the 23rd, the night before Carol's by Candlelight.
Oh, I didn't know.
And that, is a bit of a bastard act.
Yeah. I agree.
It is but then if you watched Carols by Candlelight the last few years, and I always watch it because I just grew up watching it, I don't know. I just, the Channel 9 Carols by Candlelight, as far as I'm concerned, really was hard to watch. So I think competitiveness occurs more, or you see people sneaking up when you're operating at your weakest. And I kind of feel like maybe this will give Channel 9 a bit of an excuse to show us something a little bit different. You know, just getting out the same singers gets a little bit lost on me. You know, we've seen Marina Pryor and we've seen Anthony Clear. Like, you know, come on, like, can we try and just do something a little bit different? David Campbell brings a lot of energy. They really miss Sonia Kruger hosting it with a little bit more personality. But, you know, I just think, come on, lads, they're going to have to try and do something a little bit different.
Yeah, but that's the thing, right? In part, it's the tradition of not just where they land, but who performs what. Like, to the same end, and I say this as not a Victorian, certainly not a Melburnian, why they unfreeze Dennis Walter and get him to sing every year is beyond
me. No, that's tradition.
But I know. But it, see, my point exactly. I know it's tradition. So, and there will be people up in arms if such and such doesn't sing such and such a song, because that's the way it needs to be. Look, I think that coronavirus will affect the lineup of who sings what, in part because there will be some performers that are either immunocompromised or elderly enough that they shouldn't be in a position where they're near heaps of people and could catch something.
Mm. I just think it's funny that the kids in the front row are like, oh, my God, who's that terrifying bear? And all the adults are like, oh, it's Humphrey B. Bear and I love him. And it's like,
I thought you were going to say, no, that's Anthony the Blue Wiggle.
We'll let you have that. And that concludes this segment.
Hey, before we move on from the new segment, it is the end of an era, as after 63 years, the Nine Network has said goodbye to its home in Willoughby. It was there where television began in Australia with those famous words by Bruce Gyngell in 1956, welcome to television. CEO Hugh Marks sent an email to staff saying, as we bid farewell, it's important that we celebrate our history and take with us an unrivaled legacy. Ben, I worked in this building for 5 years. I loved my time at Nine. It was a rabbit warren, and you felt something special when you actually knew how to get around the building. It was like Epping at Channel 7 in the old days. But it is a sad little moment that a piece of television history, just like GTV 9 in Melbourne, when it goes.
Well, absolutely. And Rob, I actually have a good, hilarious memory of the first time I went to that studio. And it was very soon after doing Big Brother, and I was going to be on Today Extra, I think, with Sonia and David Campbell. And I was going to be on the panel with Gretel Colleen, who I'd never met before. And I was in the green room and I said to Gretel Colleen, I said, oh, hi, do you know who I am? And she said, absolutely not. I think she did, but she was like, absolutely not. And I said, oh, I was on Channel 9's new Big Brother and I really wanted you to be the host. And Sonia Kruger was standing behind me when I said that.
Oh. Wow. How to win friends and influence people, Ben Norris.
But the best thing about Sonia is that she's got a great sense of humour, and Gretel's got a good sense of humour about that sort of stuff as well. But I'll tell you what, I wanted the Willoughby Studios to swallow me whole for that moment.
No, I can understand that completely, but how funny. Well, it is a sad moment to think the first television station in Australia is being ripped down, but that's progress and that's where the television industry is at the moment, Mark.
Yeah, it is. And look, it's a huge amount of money that Nine are going to get out of the sale of that Willoughby property.
Oh, yeah.
And it, no small part has helped them fit out the new North Sydney Denison Street studios. They have left a lot of space on the walls and around the place to really keep that connection. So there's been posters and stuff that have stayed on the wall in Willoughby and stuff that's in Willoughby that have now finally moved across to North Sydney. I was lucky enough to get a tour around the building before 60 Minutes, before Today had moved in. So there was lots of empty desks, but you got to see, for example, that whole news hub where the chiefs of staff sit and the sort of the lines of desks that kind of spawn out of it like a star. It just looks amazing and I'm sure is now a hive of activity for Nine. But nine levels in this building. The studios are near fully automated with room for some people behind cameras, but lots of automatic cameras. The control rooms are phenomenal. This absolutely was a necessity for Nine to make the move, and it will really usher them into a whole new era of television creation, particularly given that they now make so little TV themselves.
Very good point. All right, now it's time for Hatches and Dispatches with Mulk.
Gracias, Roberto. Ex-Channel 10 newsreader Natasha Belling is bouncing back after falling victim to budget cuts at the network and is entering the world of podcasts. Partnering with Southern Cross Austereo, Your Morning Agenda will cover breaking news across Australia and the world. and make her literally tens of dollars. In sad news from the US, a man competing in the reality obstacle course show Wipeout has died after being rushed to hospital following the completion of competition. Production has stopped and will resume after a pre-planned break following Thanksgiving. The Australian Communications and Media Authority has found 9 guilty of breaching broadcast rules after 3 news reports disclosed the residential address of 2 police officers, one even including the suburb. 9 have removed it from their online platforms and apologised to those affected. It is also the end of an era in America, with Conan O'Brien ending his 28-year-long night show stint. At the end of its 10th season in June 2021, Conan will bid farewell, but has already signed on for a weekly variety series on HBO Max. He hopes to get a free subscription.
Thank you, Malk, for this week's Hatches and Dispatches. Coming up next, Fiona O'Loughlin opens up and just gets really raw and honest, and we'll open the TV Black Bolt. What juicy little morsels does Ben have for us this week? We'll find out in just a moment.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And Robin Robbo. It's the most talked about TV show that's not on TV.
And I think you guys are amazing.
With raw, honest opinions.
This was not a mistake. This was a lie.
Exclusive stories.
Some industry insiders have been talking about this.
Is that a Ben Robin Robbo exclusive?
And plenty of famous faces.
I'm not wasting these gold moments on 60 Minutes.
The Ben Robin Robbo Show is the new way to stream your news.
This is the stuff that headlines are made of.
Live every Monday to Thursday at 1 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on Ticker TV or Facebook and Twitter at BRR Show. Watch live or on demand.
It's the Ben Robin Robbo, Ben Robin Robbo, Ben Robin Robbo Show.
Well, last week on the Ben Robin Robbo Show, we were lucky enough to have comedian Fiona O'Loughlin as our special guest panellist. There were, of course, lots of laughs and opinions, but she also really opened up to us and was very candid about her struggles with addiction. Have a listen to this, and before we begin, let me say, if you are in need of help or support, please reach out to the Alcohol and Drug Foundation on 1300 858 584 or Beyond Blue on 1300 224 636. This is Fiona O'Loughlin in an ad-libbed conversation, very raw and very emotional. You talked about your time in I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. We know you've had issues with alcohol along the way, and you talked about drinking the hand sanitizer. How are you doing on that front? Are you recovering? Are you still drinking? Are you okay?
Hey, it wasn't just any old hand sanitizer. It was...
it was the good stuff.
I mean, you've got quality.
I've been in remission from substance use disorder. I've only just learned how to say that, which is actually what it is. It's a mental disorder as much as anything else. And I've been in remission. My drugs of choice were codeine and alcohol.
Yeah.
And I've been in remission since December 17th, 2019.
Brilliant.
So I'm literally doing, well, not physical cartwheels, but emotional cartwheels every day.
Well, that's awesome, Fiona. Like, brilliant. Seriously, thank congratulations.
I've walked around the planet just feeling like such a fucking idiot, you know, like, and a liar. And, you know, I was always in sobriety for 3 months and then I would relapse and relapse and relapse, on average every 3 months. And that's been what's been happening for the last 15 years, really.
But you're almost at a year now. And can I ask you, is it really difficult as a comedian, because historically I would think that the alcohol gives you that Dutch courage and we feel funnier when we've had a bit to drink. Is that how you felt? Was that part of a safety blanket for you?
Absolutely. And as it is for most addicts, and we don't know why, but it's an endless quest for not, you know, filling up this not enough-ish, whatever we suffer from.
Yeah.
We're just never enough. Not, we cannot bear to be in our own skin. And all of a sudden, you know, I knew that just having somewhat of a normal life would be, you know, the life I was in active addiction was hell. And I knew it would be a lot better on the other side, but I had no idea in retrospect how easy it was. It's not a hand-wringing horror show. It's actually, and now the thought of actually using something that retards my thoughts, retards my actions, my physicality, it's so dangerous to me, and I see that so much clearer now that for a brief moment of a bit of Dutch courage, it just is not, the risk for that would be enormous, possibly fatal.
Well, that's a point. You can only push your body so far. It's interesting you told the story about the hand sanitizer, and I loved the joke you were making before, but nobody knew about that. Why did you feel you needed to speak about that publicly? Is that making sure you don't find yourself back at that place, having it in the public domain?
Yes, absolutely. Because if you're going to clean out your closet, you want to make sure you clean it all out. You know, I didn't want anything coming to bite me on the ass. There was so much worse that happened in many ways than the hand sanitizer, because that was such a, you know, incredibly horrific thing to do to myself.
Yeah.
But way worse than that is the behaviors that, particularly alcoholic behaviors, that immediately and long-lastingly impacted my kids, you know, that you've got to clean up the guilt of that and the shame of that. It's so interconnected because, it's that this question of that fatal first drink, why would you relapse again? It makes absolutely no sense. But what the addict is actually doing is looking for a moment of respite for the self-loathing. Everything stops and we, even though it's a fake piece, there is a piece there's always a payoff, you know, and that is the payoff to not feel. And all of a sudden, if you can just hang about the right people, and you might, you know, I'll spend the rest of my life now doing whatever I can to destigmatize this, because it is, they know it's hereditary. That alcohol's been around as long as anything, and 8% of us, 8% will always be addicted. Always. And alcohol was the gateway drug to everything for me. And what society does, it's much simpler to just kind of zero in on the behaviours of the addict. And for sure, we're the most annoying people you could ever come across. But you've got to get rid of the people, or they've got to rid themselves, you know, the people that are too close to the alcoholic. And like, for instance, I should have not been with my husband, you know. It's over. You know, get away from the shame and the trauma of your shame and find the people that are prepared to love you no matter what, so long as you, no matter what, don't pick up. Every family has a landscape, and on that landscape there is one of me. What are you doing for that addict? Have you checked in on them? Where's the addict in your family? Because we're everywhere. And it's crazy that all that happens in our social environment is gossip and shame and blah, 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 blah. You know, she was always bad. It's bullshit. I was.
Ben, that came out of nowhere when we were recording it, didn't it? It was just, she's so honest, she's so giving, and I love the woman.
Yeah, and I think that that's the magic of who she is. Interestingly enough, I had other entertainers and other interviewers contact me after that interview and share stories of when they had interviewed her and had captured similar moments. And I think one of the strange things about her, and again, it is the magic of who she is, it's the authenticity and the ability to walk so close up to that that line of crossing the line of giving you too much information and being quite fragile, that worked. And I must admit, I felt her pain in her telling us her story. However, at the same time, I also felt her desire being almost tantalized in a way, which meant that it was okay, because you could see she really enjoyed the chat with us. And I don't know whether or not that comes across on the podcast as much as it really did in the video format, but boy, we were lucky. You know, we were so lucky to have that moment with her. And, you know, it was a good, you know, it was just a really good moment.
Amazing woman. All right. Can you hear that?
Oh, blah, 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 blah.
The Black Vault is open. Benny boy, what have you got for us?
Okay, so last week I had the most voted upon was everyone wants to know about who this A-list celebrity was in Byron Bay that got the weird look from the waiter for not recognizing who she was, and that was Natalie Portman. Natalie Portman is...
I thought she was nice, not giving the...
Hey, whoa. How is she not nice?
Don't you know who I am? I'm Natalie Portman.
No, she didn't say that, but she gave that look of,
she
you know.
She said it with her eyes. Actors act with their eyes.
They asked her what she does.
We need to dial back to whatever that performance was from Rob. Don't you know who I am?
That, frighteningly enough, Malk, that's how I imagine our friend Mr. McKnight would be if he did reach the same levels as Natalie Portman. That's the kind of... That's the kind of banter we would imagine.
Don't you know who I am? Minnow coming through.
I'm pretty sure you've said that to your wife, Amanda McKnight, when you've come to bed. Don't you know who I am?
Yes. And she says, I know who you are. Get out.
Get out. We've been here before. We've got many children. Okay, so number one this week, radio, TV and a weekly column was the living dream for this Australian icon, but now it's a much harder game post-COVID. Who is being forced to downsize in 2021? Spoiler alert, it's not everybody, which is what my partner said when I read this to him. He was like, that's everyone. And I was like, no, someone in particular. Not a good phone call to get from your agent when you're told all three of those is no longer happening. Number two, one of the biggest names in entertainment was devastated to hear that Pete Evans wasn't going into the jungle, saying they would have watched for sure, but also said they would never have admitted this to anyone, including their friends, and keeping it a secret would have been hard.
How big is this celebrity?
Are we talking long, or like a long name, or an actual big name?
Think the biggest level of celebrity you can become in this country, and it's that person. Oh. So... it's a big name. And Malk's looking at me going, I can't wait till you tell me in 5 minutes once this podcast is over. Yeah. But I'm talking megawatt. I'm talking megastar. Someone that would never be actually, and I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. And it blew my mind to even have this person secretly share that piece of information with me. Anyway, vote away. Number three, if you thought a certain math star was Pete Evans' replacement, you'd have been fooled by their own PR. Apparently he was ringing radio stations and magazines to tip them off, even though he had never, ever been in touch with Channel 10 ever in his career.
Jeepers, man. The balls of some people.
Amazing.
Imagine, can I just say, this is a real story. And the person, like, and I didn't get tipped off by this story about this person saying that they were going into the jungle from one or two sources. I got tipped off from three different sources, three different media outlets saying that they were contacted, and they asked me why this person was going into the jungle. And I said, this person lied about going into Big Brother last year. Even when the show was being recorded, he was still in Byron. He was still in Bondi Beach, having drinks with locals and telling them that he's in Big Brother that year. The show had been in production for 2 weeks, but he still dined down on it until the show went to air. Like, who are these people? And are they mentally okay? Send a raft.
Wow, they're just amazing. Well, that brings us to the end of another episode of TV Black Box. Thank you, Aaron, for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Malk.
I'll just close the black vault because you forgot to. Bleep, blob, bloop.
Malk's worried I'll still be talking. Yeah, Malk's like, shut that door. Shut that door. Thanks for having me, everyone.
And don't forget, for the latest information on the TV industry and so much more, go to tvblackbox.com.au. The podcast is out every Tuesday morning, and you'll find lots of goodies on the Ben, Robin, Robbo show. We're everywhere. Come and join us. We'll see you next week.
Jamie Oliver does not rate.
You, Jamie Oliver does not. No, that's not the tune, and you've got it out of my head now.
That's so
Jamie
funny, though.
Jamie Oliver does not. I've lost it now.
It's
I've
his way it. Of trying to get on the show as a regular every week. It's like, oh. Aaron's like, if I, because I remember when I was just thinking I was only here as a bit player. I used to suck up to McKnight all the time. Now I just know how to try and wrestle him a little bit. But fair play to you.
Jamie Oliver does not rate.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.